My name is Garland Robinson. The subject of this study is homosexuality. You know, the Bible reveals to us that an all-wise Creator made the distinctive sexual natures of men and women, and that He assigned their unique role in life. Real, true happiness comes to men and women who understand their proper sexual role and they observe it. Unhappiness, moral disaster comes to those who pervert the natural role which God assigned each one of us. You have heard the terms or words lesbians and gays. Well, these terms are applied to homosexuality. It's defined as a desire for one of the same sex. Paul specifies this as a very prevalent sin among the Gentiles of Roman society. In Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we read, "For their women change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly." Friend, we need to understand very plainly that homosexuality, as described, defined by the Bible, is sin. The Bible informs us that the men of Sodom were homosexuals, and it explicitly reveals that God considered them very sinful and wicked. In Genesis 13:13, we read, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." In Genesis 18, we read, "The Lord said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous." Remember Abraham? Abraham, having learned that the Lord planned to destroy Sodom, requested of God to spare the city if only 50 righteous people could be found. And God promised that He would not. And Abraham continued to plead with God and reduce the number to 10. If only 10 righteous people could be found in the city of Sodom, then God promised He would not destroy it. God is merciful. He doesn't want any to perish. He desires that all would come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Therefore we read in Genesis 18:32 that God said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." However, so brazen and hardened were the homosexuals of Sodom that they sought to take the angels from Lot's house and force them that they might engage in homosexuality with them. So depraved were the homosexuals of Sodom that the angels rescued Lot from them and blinded the perverts. The angel then said to Lot, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." Genesis 19:13. Then in Genesis 19:15 we read, "And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." So following Lot's escape from the city, we read, "Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." Well, friend, God overthrew Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, all the cities of the plain because of their gross immorality, their homosexuality. It is a terrible, horrible sin that is not only condemned by the Lord, but He destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone. Genesis 19 records, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and He overthrew those cities and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground." When we turn to the New Testament, we find both Jude and Peter speak of the terrible sin of sodomy, which had caused God to rain down that fire and brimstone and destroy them. 2 Peter 2 and verse 6 says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly." And then we read in Jude 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh, have set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. The destruction of the city stands as a warning of that which shall eventually be the lot of all ungodly men and women, especially those engaging in homosexuality, the sin of sodomy. The prophets, in condemning various sins, often referred to the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. We read in Isaiah 13:19, "And Babylon shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." In Jeremiah 23:14, we read, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." We read of the same thing in Jeremiah 50:40. And in Amos 4:11, we read, "I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." So, friends, sodomy, lesbianism, homosexuality, that which people refer to today as being gay, is a sin. It has always been a sin and will always continue to be. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It is not that which is approved by God. God has always condemned homosexuality as a very serious sin. Both the Old Testament and New Testament abound with condemnation of such wickedness. It is labeled in the Bible for exactly what it is. It's a sin, not simply an alternate lifestyle. It's not a disease. It is a sin of the grossest kind. The inspired Apostle Paul wrote, "For this cause God shall give them up unto their vile affections or passions, for their women change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was their due." Romans 1:26-27. In verse 29, we read that they were filled with all unrighteousness. He definitely points out that those who commit homosexuality are not merely sick. It's not that they just can't help themselves or that they're following their nature, but rather he describes their conduct as unrighteousness, therefore wickedness. It's a sin. Having described a very sordid list of sins in which among them is found homosexuality, he concludes by saying in Romans 1:32, "Who knowing the ordinance of God, that they who do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that do them or practice them." If a person believes the Bible, then he or she is a so-called gay or lesbian will hurriedly, penitently, genuinely repent of this horrible sin. Even those who give their consent to this very ugly sin. The Lord strictly charged His people not to practice homosexuality. Leviticus 18:22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." This sin, among others, had defiled the land that they were to possess. And you read in Leviticus 18 that the people, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, were filled with all kinds of sin. Among them was the sin of sodomy, the sin of homosexuality, and for that reason God overthrew them, cast them out of their lands and their cities, and brought in the Israelites to settle in that land. We read in Leviticus 20:13, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Deuteronomy 23:17, we read, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." Now, when we turn to the New Testament, we find that God is clearly and plainly taught the same thing, that homosexuality is a sin and will prevent one from ever going to heaven. Note, as we read in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 and 10, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, that among those sins he lists those who are effeminate, those who are abusers of themselves with mankind." And he says that's simply descriptive of homosexuals. They're effeminate. They abuse themselves one with another. And he says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, language can't be any plainer than that. Homosexuality will cause one to lose their soul. Because of the present confusion of sex roles and the deterioration of the home, sexual perversion is rapidly a growing problem in our society. Sexual perversion is an ancient evil. The citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah were given over to it, as we've described and talked about. Homosexuality flourished among the Grecian and Roman cultures. Notable perverts included men like Alexander the Great, Socrates, and Plato. Among the Romans, Julius Caesar. And we read of such grossness and sins throughout history. Well, that doesn't change it. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't say that, well, it's all right, it's acceptable. Now, here's the key. Is there any hope for those guilty of homosexuality? Those that are marching, those that are parading, those that are promoting, those that are defending, those are setting it forth as a natural, normal thing. Is there any hope for them? Yes, there is hope. But hope is found in repentance. The word repent means to change the mind. Make up your mind to do differently. Be convinced that it is sinful, that it's wrong, that it's contrary to the Lord's will. And having done that, it will result in a change of life, an about face in one's life. Paul states that the Corinthians had been guilty of this terrible sin of sodomy, homosexuality, but having turned from it, they were forgiven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 we read, "And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God." Now, when he describes homosexuality here, he says there were some in the church at Corinth who had been living that kind of lifestyle. They were involved in it. And he says they used to be that. Such were some of you. So there is hope. There's hope for people when they turn from their wickedness and submit themselves to God's will. God's will is that one may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world. Remember what Jesus said in John 3:16? "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe in Jesus, you can turn from your sins. Change your mind about it. Turn around your life. And that turnaround will lead you to confess faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And upon that confession, you can be immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. There you'll contact the blood of Christ that washes your sins away. You've buried an old man of sin, but you can be raised to walk a newness of life, faithful to the Lord, doing His will. You can be saved. You can be spared from the eternal consequences of living a life of homosexuality, any other sin that may be involved in your life. You can turn it around. You can be saved. You can obey the gospel. Won't you do that? That is our prayer, and we hope that you will.